Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on recent developments in Bangladesh. The participants are Professor Rahul Mishra, international affairs expert, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
The International Crimes Tribunal in Bangladesh delivered its verdict in Bangladesh today. The ICT has convicted former Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina on crimes against humanity. The tribunal pronounced the death sentence for former Prime Minister. The charges against Sheikh Hasina originate from the student-led uprising of July and August last year. It was alleged that the then Awami League government carried out a violent suppression of protesters. Along with Hasina, the tribunal is trying former Home Minister Asaduzzaman Khan Kamal and ex-police chief Chaudhary Abdullah Al Mamoon. To discuss more on the subject, we have with us Professor Rahul Mishra. He is an international affairs expert of repute. Before we progress in the program, we also have a report from Prasar Bharati special correspondent in Dhaka, Naval Singh Parmal, on the recent developments in Dhaka. So first, let's listen to what the Prasar Bharati special correspondent has to say.
After the International Crimes Tribunal in Dhaka handed down death sentences to Sheikh Hasina and Asaduzzaman Khan Kamal for their alleged role in the July killings, Dhaka today urged New Delhi to immediately repatriate the two convicted individuals. In an official statement, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs said India is treaty-bound under the existing extradition agreement to transfer both convicted individuals to Bangladeshi authorities. As a precaution, security has been sharply intensified across Dhaka with additional units of Border Guard Bangladesh, police, the Rapid Action Battalion and the army deployed throughout the capital. Heightened security measures have been also enforced in Sheikh Hasina's home district, Gopalganj, Madaripur and Faridpur amid concerns of potential unrest. Analyst says the verdict could significantly alter Bangladesh's political landscape. With national election approaching, the death sentence handed to a former prime minister and her close aide has raised the political stakes and may further deepen divisions. The country now waits to see whether the ruling sparks widespread turmoil or whether the expanded security presence succeeds in preventing large-scale unrest. Naval Singh Parmar, Akashvani News, Dhaka.
So, Professor Mishra, how do you view this judgment?
The judgment that has come from the International Crime Tribunal Bangladesh has to be seen in the light of the fact that the country is undergoing a lot of political turbulence and churning, and the situation is still not stable, and something that the Bangladeshi government and Prime Minister Yunus are also trying to stabilize. We have seen a lot of domestic developments taking place, which at times indicate that situation is getting out of control. Even today, as we speak, the situation in Dhaka and in Rangpur is very tense. So the judgment has to be first taken with this background, as in the judgment has to be understood in the context of ongoing developments in the country, number one. Second, it has to be also seen in the context of what happened last year in July and August, the July uprising, as it is called, and August 2024, the ouster of Sheikh Hasina government. So these two build the context. If we look at the judgment as such, I think there are two points here from Sheikh Hasina's side. One, that the trial that is conducted in absentia, that means that Sheikh Hasina was not present there. The other accused in this case, one has kind of become a government approver. The other one has also fallen in a situation where it is practically not possible for him to stand his position. So I think this also should be taken into consideration. The other point is Sheikh Hasina's son has also said that since they do not agree with the decision and they think that the current government does not have the mandate, they would like to appeal for revision, which technically should be done within a month's time. They are saying that they would appeal when the democratically elected government comes to power. So I think all of this enmeshing of issues makes this judgment more political than a case of the code of law. So the legalistic aspect has to be, for a moment in this case, kind of put to the background. And we have to consider the political developments happening in the country, and that decides as to what is going to happen. So I think to a large extent, this is a question also of Awami League's existence. The cadre on the ground is also a bit agitated. So these issues put together have politicized. It has made this issue a bit more controversial, a bit more political, reflecting the ongoing developments. violence in the country.
Professor Mishra, you gave a very lucid explanation of what the judgment means. So before we progress, I would also like to read out a statement which the Ministry of External Affairs issued in New Delhi this evening. And the statement read, "As a close neighbor, India remains committed to the best interest of people of Bangladesh, including in peace, democracy, inclusion and stability in that country." The statement added that India will always engage constructively with all the stakeholders to that end. So, Professor Mishra, I would like you to share your thoughts on this very statement.
I thought this statement by the Ministry of External Affairs of India is a very measured, very cautious statement, and at the same time gives a very positive outlook that India has regarding its neighbors and their internal matters. India has a principled position which has been practiced ever since independence, that India is not interested in interfering the internal matters of any country. And at the same time, as a good neighbor, India also wants to make sure that its neighbors and overall peace and tranquility, rule of law, state of democracy, wherever people have accepted it, should be respected. So I think the MEA statement on Bangladesh reflects that, and it is in that spirit of non-interference in the internal affairs of your neighbor that the statement should be read. And it also gives us an opportunity to see that India is open to witness, to register what happens in Bangladesh and how this case legally or politically unfolds. And then perhaps MEA will issue more statements in times to come.
Also, Professor Mishra, for the benefit of our listeners, can you explain us what ICT is and how was it constituted, and has there been any landmark judgment in the past as well by ICT?
Look, the ICT, it's a legal institution that was set up in Bangladesh that caters to the needs of the Bangladeshi people. In the past, ICT, of course, has played an important role. It is considered a war crimes tribunal that was set up in 2009 to investigate and in some cases prosecute suspects of genocide committed in 1971. So that is where the background is. ICT also, at that time when it was established in 2009, worked or focused more on 1971, the Pakistani army, their local collaborators called the Razakars and others during the Bangladeshi Liberation War. After 2008 elections, the Awami League pledged to try these war criminals, and a number of cases tried and culprits were brought to justice. For instance, when the Crimes Fact-Finding Committee, that is the War Crimes Fact-Finding Committee, was given this task, it investigated, I think, more than 1,600 cases. So it really played an important role in contemporary Bangladeshi politics and also in setting the national discourse right. So far as the current role is concerned, of course, it has become a little more controversial. And also the way this tribunal is functioning at the moment, I think, is also something that has to be taken into consideration. For example, the tribunal is also seen by some critics, the Western critics mostly, that it is more politically charged than any international human rights organization or any international legal organization that plays this kind of a role. So I think this perhaps should be taken into consideration while assessing the role of ICTBD. Also, I think the performance of this institution over past few years should be evaluated on the basis of how international community functions. So number of institutions have expressed their opinion, their views on how this institution performs, how this institution works and how it should be functioning ideally. I mean, these developments are only reflective of the political climate in the country. This is something that has to be seen as deeply embedded in Bangladeshi politics. There are no rights and wrongs here. The only thing is how politics is unfolding in the country, how it was shaped earlier in 20 years ago and till recent times, and how it is now unfolding. So institutions are only manifestation, or rather a mirror image of the politics ongoing, how leaders are seeing the national politics and how even people are looking at their national leaders and playing their parts or not playing their parts in the political scene on the ground.
Circling back to India, what do you feel, how important is peace and stability in India's neighborhood?
Bangladesh, for our eastern seaboard, Bangladesh, perhaps the most important country at this moment for a number of reasons, not just security or trade or water linkages that we have, but also for legal and illegal movement of people, movement of commodities, the ethnic equations, cross-border ethnic equations, all of this put together, and India's stakes in Bangladesh and in our own northeastern region make Bangladesh a very critically important country for India. Prime Minister Modi at one point also included Bangladesh as part of India's Act East policies, rather a gate to entering the eastern side, that is Southeast Asian countries. So I think for the government and for the people, Bangladesh is a very important country for a number of reasons, for people-centric issues, but also for government-related issues, the security, the prosperity, overall peace and development of the region. For everything, Bangladesh has a role, is a stakeholder, and India drives its relations with Bangladesh with that motivation, with that idea in mind.
Do you feel there will be an impact of these judgments on the upcoming polls in Bangladesh in February next year?
Well, these judgments will definitely contribute to more polarization in the country. Those who support Awami League will definitely be seeing it from a different perspective. People supporting Sheikh Hasina and Awami League must be rattled with this decision. But having that said, I think it's also important to understand that these decisions or institutions like these that are functional in Bangladesh also have a backing. So this judgment in short to medium term is going to, number one, polarize the country on political issues. Number two, it is also going to create a debate, stir a debate in the country as to how and what role Sheikh Hasina has, how Sheikh Hasina is going to be playing politics in this, or how Sheikh Hasina as a leader will be representing her people, or her nation in the country, and the future of Awami League. I think the third point is this trial is also, at least in some quarters in the country, going to raise a debate on the role of institutions that have legal framework, institutions that have a legal personality, how those institutions perform in a democracy, and particularly in the context of South Asia. So I think these three issues put together will determine the contribution that this decision is going to make in Bangladesh politics.
And lastly, I would also like to have a sense from you on India's exchanges with the current regime in Bangladesh. What kind of exchanges does India have with the existing regime in Bangladesh?
Well, the government in India, the Ministry of External Affairs and all other ministries, including the Prime Minister's office, are very clear, I think, and consistent that with all our neighbors, immediate neighbors and neighbors really far away, with global powers and small powers, our policy is twofold. One, it has to run as business as usual. That means consistency in business is our first priority. Whether the government in our neighborhood or in some other country likes us or not is secondary. First is consistency in business. Those agreements that have been signed must be honored, must be implemented as they were. And also, at the same time, India believes that cutting off ties on emotional grounds or on some impulsive political issues does not reflect India's statecraft. So trying to disassociate emotional issues from real politics is something that India has been practicing. Point number two is, with Bangladesh, the current policy of the government, I think, is very clear that we remain cautious and careful, but at the same time friendly and warm to all initiatives that are coming from the Bangladeshi side. So I think whether it is defense exchanges or it is security related issues on trade and development aid, I think most of the agreements are being taken in a positive light, and both the governments are working together on this. And India is, of course, waiting for a better opportune moment to further strengthen ties, while the situation is a bit volatile in Bangladesh, and also certain quarters in Bangladesh are also interested in engaging Pakistan more, as we have seen recently, or China more. So these issues are also something that are of notice to India, but that does not affect India-Bangladesh ties in a longer, broad sense.
Thank you so much, Professor Mishra, for sparing your valuable time and giving us such deep insights on the current developments in Bangladesh. Thank you for sparing your time and joining us for Spotlight tonight.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on recent developments in Bangladesh. The participants were Professor Rahul Mishra, international affairs expert, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.